This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucs Bulletin Edition for Week 2 of the Buccaneers' Thursday night game at the Carolina Panthers. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm, and you need not live nor work nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to reach out to Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Looking forward to seeing Colin and Jeremy and David and the Brandon Legal Group foursome. They have the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, including Todd Wright Tour XXI, which will be played 2 weeks from this coming Sunday at the Eagles Golf Club in Odessa. Also, before we break down fantasy-wise, and it won't take long, Bucs and Panthers, speaking of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, one of my regular caterers of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, also now in the Todd Wright family of podcast, and it's via Matt Jones and Better Bird from Chichio Restaurant Group. They are located on 4th Street North in St. Petersburg, and just take it from the reaction of all my golfers when they eat the catering that Better Bird brings to my golf tournaments, whether they're bringing out the better tenders, the better wings, the bowls, the buns, their name for sandwiches, and specifically, maybe the most popular food item ever consumed at any of the previous 20 Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, one of the sides at Better Bird is the jalapeno bacon mac and cheese. I know many of you are infatuated with good mac and cheese. This jalapeno bacon mac and cheese, if you have not had it from Better Bird, makes Better Bird a destination just for that item. Specials weekly, happy hour all the time, $3 craft beer and wine, $2 tacos on Tuesday, go figure, $1 wings on Wing Wednesday, $4 loaded fries on Loaded Thursdays, and $3 mimosas on weekends for their special menu for brunch. That's Better Bird. Visit betterbird.com. Their location is 4th Street North in St. Petersburg, and they will cater. They tell me this, just like they do for my golf tournaments. They will come from their St. Pete store to anywhere in the greater Tampa Bay area to cater your personal or work function. 727-325-2973. Visit betterbird.com. Thank you, Matt Jones. Thank you, Zach, Jordan, everyone at Better Bird for all you have done for Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. All right, so let's get into the Week 2 Bucs Bulletin. This is your one-of-a-kind fantasy matchup weekly of the Bucs and their opponent. Bucs coming off a loss to the Niners, Carolina coming off a loss to the Rams, both home losses by the respective teams. And they're the first to incur the short week into the Thursday game. This isn't good considering both teams are coming off a loss, and just something we've talked about on previous podcasts, how because most coaches chose to not give snaps to their full first team offense in much or any of the preseason, maybe outside the first half of the third preseason game for everyone that didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, you're going to see some offensive issues trickle into week two, especially when you don't have a full week to prepare. So some of the issues that the Buccaneers had, they don't have as much time to correct it. Some of the issues that Cam Newton and Carolina had, they do not have as much time to correct it. So from a fantasy standpoint, the first thing that obviously comes to mind is the Carolina DST. the 49ers produced two pick sixes and nearly a third against Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. Winston, again, careless with the football. As much as anything else was the reason why the Buccaneers lost that game to the San Francisco 49ers. So playing the Carolina DST, I think most fantasy owners, unless you have the Bears or you have a rooting interest in a particular team that has a good to above average defense, you stream defenses, you look for matchups every week. This is obviously one that's going to stand out because you're basically picking up a DST to go up against an offense that isn't ready for prime time and a quarterback who clearly can't get out of his own way. So Carolina's DST is one of the fantasy plays this week, both in season-long leagues and in DFS. Christian McCaffrey is the given on the Carolina Panthers. He was one of those big three that we talked about in ADP in season-long drafts, and it was a big three because Ezekiel Elliott had not signed yet, that at the last minute became a big four running backs at the top of everybody's draft board, although there were still some people drafting Ezekiel Elliott anywhere from 2 to 4 before there were reports and confirmation that he had signed a contract prior to the week one game. McCaffrey just seems to play the game as hard as anybody, and the Carolina Panthers even had a new wrinkle in the game against the Rams where they had a direct snap to McCaffrey, even though he wasn't lined up behind the center. Cam Newton was, and then McCaffrey faked handing the ball back to Cam Newton and then went between center and guard on the left side for a score. So McCaffrey, for those of you that invested in him, you weren't disappointed. I mean, we went over this earlier on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, there is a full fantasy football podcast that talks about all 32 teams equally. Find that and subscribe to it if you haven't already. McCaffrey was one of only about three players in standard scoring leagues that were in the top 15 and were there expectedly. About 80% of the top fantasy performers in week one were drafted late round or not at all. And many of those guys have been popping up off waiver wires in the last 24, 48 hours. The only three that were played to the level of their lofty draft choice were Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins was just below the top 15, I believe, and Christian McCaffrey, who touched the ball a lot and was very productive in a losing effort for Carolina. Nothing else Carolina-wise getting away from DFS, especially if you just play the Thursday game isolated in a showdown with DFS, but in season-long leagues or DFS where you're playing across all 16 games, I haven't really seen enough of DJ Moore to say he's a wide receiver play this week. Buccaneers defense was aggressive. They still have so many bodies that are in the mix at corner and at safety. One went on IR this week. Hargraves had a pick six last week. They were more aggressive, but at the same time, not enough for Moore. And Curtis Samuel, who was considered the MVP of training camp for those that cover the Carolina Panthers training camp, also not enough in week one for you to go out of your way to claim him on waivers, or if you drafted him as a wide receiver 3 or 4, to move him up into your starting lineup. Cam Newton was a guy who may or may not have even been drafted in some season-long leagues, going against what was normally the case for many, many years on Newton. because he would not only be productive with his arm, but also he would get those rushing yards and often those short yardage touchdowns. I think a lot of people were scared off choosing Cam Newton because of the foot injury that he suffered in week three of the preseason. It didn't appear to be an issue. Neither did the shoulder or the throwing motion in week one, albeit in a losing effort. But still, Cam Newton's not exciting anybody, and it's going to take Carolina winning and Newton putting up big numbers again or scoring some rushing touchdowns to get fantasy players excited about him again, because there are so many other mobile quarterbacks now that can do what he did for a good set of 5 years there. So really, I think the only Carolina plays in season-long leagues are the DST, because that's sort of an anti-Jameis Winston play based on what the Niners did last week, and also Christian McCaffrey as your obvious RB1. Over on the Tampa Bay side of things, Chris Godwin moved up late in the draft season to firm wide receiver two status in many people's minds. They invested a draft pick in him specifically to be their wide receiver two. He did lead the Bucs in targets last week. He did produce a touchdown last week. Other than that, the results were meh. The good part is something we talked about, that if the Bucs were going to be bad and trailing in games or just bad offensively because Winston can't make quick decisions without max protect packages that Dirk Cutter used to cover this weakness in Jameis's game, Godwin would simply get more throws his way than Howard and Evans, who were further down the field. That played out exactly that way. And even though Godwin's numbers weren't great, the targets were still higher than those other two guys, Evans and Howard, that many people were drafting as well. From the running back standpoint, there was nothing on really either side. I talked about going into Niners-Bucks how it was the two worst running back depth charts in the National Football League, and you saw why. Ronald Jones did have a handful of running plays where you saw a burst. And if that is a sign of things to come, then Jones will likely be playing more than Peyton Barber does. But, I mean, he had more rushing yards in the opening game this year than he had the entire season last year. So that's why Ronald Jones, I think, has been popping up as a waiver claim this week for people looking for that running back who wasn't number one on the depth chart, but could become number one on the depth chart as depth more than anything else. I don't think you're playing Ronald Jones this week, but I get that some are claiming him on waivers, especially if they had a running back that didn't get touches or just have an extra spot this week based on that handful of plays that Jones showed that burst through the line of scrimmage and had positive yardage with a career-best performance. Don't think the Bucs DST is in play, despite there being a more aggressive and faster look to it, simply because Christian McCaffrey and Carolina could use that against them on Thursday night. So, to me, not much here. From a season-long standpoint, where it's Carolina's DST, Christian McCaffrey, Chris Godwin, and that's about it. I'm sure I haven't looked at it. You know, DraftKings last week assigned the third highest quarterback pricing for week one behind Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to Jameis Winston. That not the case in week two. All right, the subscribe to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin, presented by Brandon Legal Group. And also subscribe to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which we do roughly 2 to 3 times a week to give you breakdowns on all 32 teams and some matchups that should be pretty telling for the coming week, such as Bears going to Broncos facing their former defensive coordinator. Not a lot from either quarterback in week one, Trubisky or Flacco. If you didn't notice, the Vikings have become what the Ravens were at the end of last year. The Vikings threw the ball 10 times in beating the Falcons last week. Now, some are saying that won't be as extreme this week against the Packers. But when we heard they were going to be more run-oriented this year, didn't expect a 75% run-pass, run-over-pass breakdown. So that stands out as well. And just how bad are the Dolphins? And will New England be challenged at all in their Week 2 game against Miami? Subscribe to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for more on that later in the week. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition for Week 2 of Bucks and Panthers, presented by Brandon Legal Group.